Kevin Crawley is a lighting designer. He's also a member of the Lighting Council in New Zealand. We'll find out more about the Lighting Council and has some really good lighting tips to share with us. You can join the conversation too. Call into the show on 0800 844 747 or text in 3920. Live is your keyword. Don't forget your name. Kevin, nice to chat.
Yes, good morning.
And I take it that where you're sitting now is beautifully illuminated and you've probably got control of the lights as well.
Well, I haven't, but the big yellow is certainly shining down on Christchurch this morning, that's for sure.
Bring it on.
Yeah,
where do we start? I'd like to introduce you to good friends of mine, Hamish Dodd and Stan Scott. We've got a number of questions for you this morning. They're rapid-fire questions and you won't win a thing.
How wonderful.
At what point... Hello, it's Hamish here.
Hello.
I was just thinking I'd better say who I am since you can't see me.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, at what point should one get a lighting designer in? I mean, to me, this would be something in the early stages of your design process.
Absolutely, right from the time when the architect first gets engaged, then the lighting designer should be on board for sure.
Are architects kind to lighting designers? Architects can sometimes be unkind to garden designers.
Yeah, it's a difficult...
This is just Tony's personal experience.
I'm just really pleased that I'm 6'3".
They're all types. How's that?
Good diplomatic.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
So what are some of the things that you should think of early on? So you're at the point, you've talked to your architect, or even if you're looking at buying a house from a group home builder, I mean, I think that you should be consulting a lighting designer then too, to make sure you end up actually getting what you want. What should you look out for in the beginning?
I think one of the things I really encourage people to do is to actually go and see what they actually want. Like, I mean, if you go into people's homes and you look at an effect and you go, oh, I think that's really, really cool, I'd like that in my house. Mm-hmm. And then when I speak to the client, I normally say to them, look, what do you want to see? And then say to them, have you got any pictures or ideas about what you want to achieve? And then we start work on the design.
Because, I mean, this is the thing, is if you've got a client who comes in who's, I don't know, big on their cooking in their kitchen, they may want some different kind of lighting in there. They may have an amazing art collection. They're going to want to illuminate that. Maybe they're gardeners, so you need to put provision in for that. A number of times I come across houses and they've got to the end and then someone says, oh, we'll do something with garden lights, and they've allowed one PowerPoint to run one point out the back door.
Yeah.
It's not really accounted for. So getting... As a client, one should perhaps be prepped then and maybe write a list of their wants and, as you say, have pictures to go through magazines and stuff?
Absolutely, yeah. And then what I do from there is I take them through what I call Lighting 101.
Mm-hmm.
I take them into my lighting room and I show them all the different effects that can be achieved.
Right.
Because you've got mainly three... would it be correct in saying three main types of lighting? You got ambient, functional and task lighting?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, for sure. It's like, over a kitchen bench, for example, I mean, that's a classic place to have task lighting, for example. But, I mean, again, a lot of people get it wrong because what I like to do over a kitchen bench, for example, is that I hate standing in shadow and I hate when I have... three or four different light sources in front of me because every light source causes a shadow.
Yep.
So yeah. I like to have one single long line of light, if you like, that just throws light on the deck and I can do my prep and it's fantastic.
You're exactly right. So like exactly where you put that task lighting for, in a standard situation when you have a breakfast bar or a kitchen that's with a big island bench and you have breakfast bar on one side and the other side is where you're cooking or your prep. If you have your light sort of slightly behind your head, all you're going to do is cast a big shadow on. So if you don't get that design right from the day one, it's just going to annoy them.
It's the same in bathrooms, isn't it? For ladies putting on makeup, guys trying to have a shave early in the morning if it's dark or something like that, or in the evening if you're going out. The number of bathrooms I walk into and it's got one recessed downlight that's in the middle of the room.
Mean.
Yeah,
awesome, isn't it? You just go, really? But this is not uncommon, is it? And I normally
ring up the maintenance people in hotels I stay at and say, could you come up here and have a look for a minute?
Well, I tell you what,
I can't have a shave. My eyeshadow's not the right colour.
Kevin,
it's Kevin, striped, blue and green.
I enjoy toast, and I've got a task light over my toaster, and I can actually see right down into the toast, especially when I'm cooking my fruit toast.
Oh, would you want to?
Because I don't want it to burn. It just so happens that underneath the cabinetry there is a light. And you're right, this task lighting is the way to go. Hate is a very strong word, Kevin. I know that you hate being in shadow, but you need to get over that, and you put the, you shed some light on the situation. Tell us about the Lighting Council. You're a New Zealand member.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, the Lighting Council of New Zealand was formed, excuse me, to be a body that actually has a voice for government to actually make sure that the regulations are kept within the country. And we have a strong association with Australia whereby we make sure that all the standards are kept and new standards are written from time to time, because some of the standards haven't been changed for years.
Gosh, that's not good.
And lighting's changed a lot in the last few years, hasn't it?
Oh, enormously, you know, especially with new LED coming out, and it's still evolving.
How long have you been working in lighting?
30 years.
Oh, yeah. Now, who are you teaching? You've got to share your legacy, because if you are as good as you say you are, and I think you're pretty good, you've got to be passing on this information. Who are your protégés?
Yes, well, what I do is that, again, through the... excuse me for a sec.
If you've just joined us, Kevin Crawley is a lighting designer. I'll give you his website in a moment. And he's got a terrible cough this morning, which he's sharing with us as well.
the Illumination Engineering Society, which I belong to, again, is a body in New Zealand that lighting designers join. They have a course up in Massey, which I attend from time to time, and I share my knowledge through that, which is really good.
Good.
But also, it's like I've just finished Evita, the musical, and when I was in the theatre, I had some spare time, so I was actually talking to all the techs there and then passing on my knowledge about lighting design and lighting, how to light a musical.
If you've been in the industry, well done, 10 points. If you've been in the industry for 30 years, how has it changed, and can it get any better?
Oh, it can always get better, for sure, absolutely. But the thing is that it's the light sources that have changed, not necessarily the methodologies. Because with the new LED, we can do anything with light now.
Yeah.
Like you never used to be able to bend light, but now you can. You can put a piece of LED strip in a cove, in a room, or you can bend it around a swimming pool or around a pond in a garden. You can hide a light under a rock. You can do all sorts of things. It's just so exciting. One of the most exciting things is tunable white. Have you ever heard of that?
Tunable light.
Tunable white.
Tunable white.
So we can go from a warm white to quite a stark white, can we?
You can go from daylight all the way through to moonlight, and that's one of the things that I'm doing at homes at the moment.
How do you do that?
Well, by dimming.
Yeah.
You have just think of it. You've got cold LEDs and you've got warm LEDs in the one strip.
Yep.
And by dimming between the two, you can create any hue you want.
Ah, so you can get that perfect transition.
Well, it's fantastic in terms of circadian rhythm, you know, like how our bodies work during the day. You know, we wake up to the daylight and then we go to sleep at night, hopefully.
Well, we've changed out the settings on our cell phones and we've got our night setting. So mine kicks in at about 7 o'clock and it gives a light that if I'm looking at my phone of an evening, it doesn't interfere with my circadian rhythm. And then from the hardware store, we went and bought a bulb for a lamp that we have on bedroom dresser.
Sorry, Tony loves the garden.
And this light
on the garden.
This, stop it. Oh yes, what do you call it?
Lamp.
A lamp. Thank you. I've got this lamp, and it's got a remote control, and it doesn't interfere with my circadian rhythm. So I'm bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I've got a shiny coat in the morning.
Isn't that fabulous?
I love it. It's changed my life. Kevin, we have to leave it there. It's been so nice talking to you this morning. I hope we get to meet up with you again. Keep up the good work, and pleased to know that you've been in the industry for 30 years. You know what you're talking about.
I try hard.
Very good. And we've got a link to your website on our page as well. Kevin Crawley, the lighting designer. Nice
man. Absolute pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you.
Fix that culture.
Yeah,